Welcome to Red Alert Radio. Grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you. Hosted by your local Labor MPs.
Kia ora koutou. Welcome to this edition of Red Alert. My name's Christine O'Brien and I'm a member of the Māngere o Tāhuhu Local Board. So we'll be taking a focus on South Auckland today, and in particular the Auckland Writers Festival and its engagement with South Auckland. So my guest today is the festival director, Anne O'Brien. Anne's got a background as a journalist, a radio producer, a human rights commissioner, mediator, among many other things, and has been a champion of New Zealand literature and New Zealand culture for decades now. She was the program manager for the Writers and Readers Week at the New Zealand International Festival in Wellington for some time, and then she moved up to Auckland and took over what was then the Auckland Writers and Readers Festival. She's taken this festival from strength to strength until it's now one of the largest and most anticipated events on the Auckland calendar. Welcome, Anne.
Kia ora, welcome. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. You've been on the show, I think, talking about the festival before, but as I said, we're particularly interested in the engagement with South Auckland. But just to set the context, I thought we'd talk a little bit about your journey to the festival and then the festival itself and how it actually runs, because I'm sure a lot of our audience doesn't actually see what goes on behind the scenes, and then perhaps move on to talk in more particulars about what your outreach engagement is. So how did you come to be the director of the Auckland Writers Festival?
Well, that is a long story, some of which you've prefaced in that introduction, Christine. But I think the thing about running a festival, this is a festival of books, of the written word, of story and of idea. And I think to program and curate that festival as well as run the organisation, obviously you need a lot of event management, budgeting, HR skills. But you also need a broad range of interests and a sense of the wider landscape of the conversations and the stories that matter to people at any particular moment and also over time. So my role as a journalist, obviously I worked as a producer and also as a journalist, was to actually engage with that world in a different format, in the broadcasting format for Radio New Zealand. And so I think that gave me a great set of skills. And when I left radio, I worked, as you said, at the Arts Festival in Wellington and became the manager of the Writers' Festival because I could bring to the table a kind of interest in a broad range of ideas. The wonders of fiction, the fantastic language and poetry and spoken word, the non-fiction conversations that matter, poverty, climate change, social equity, all of those things interest me, and my professional career has kind of brought me to a place where I can bring all those together for a festival, which is what effectively we do every year in May.
Absolutely, and I think that's one of the things that's struck me. I mean, obviously, the festival, this will be the 19th festival this May, and congratulations on a 20th anniversary coming over the horizon next year. But the festival now is a really different beast to the one I used to volunteer for in the 1990s, which you could basically fit in a room at the Hilton or the Hyatt. and it was a very fiction-based. And now there's a huge program that runs right across our TS Centre and out across the square, and that has every kind of non-fiction, political thing you can think of, but every topic of the day being covered. So How have you taken it from that rather small and probably slightly fiction-based festival to the enormous festival that it is today?
Well, I think there are a few things. I mean, the festival has grown year on year, so it's followed a trajectory all the way through. And I don't lay claim to having sort of kick-started it from sort of a flat line. And the story goes that it was started around a kitchen table in Grey Lynn by New Zealand writers who wanted to make sure that New Zealand readers and Aucklanders in particular had an opportunity to hear those stories, their own stories. I think what has happened over time is, I mean, I never decry fiction. Fiction is the, you know, it's our core audience, that wonderful, I mean, you can do with fiction sometimes things you can't do with non-fiction in terms of exploring people's experience. But I really champion the idea that the world of reading and books is the way in which we come to understand each other. We have no way of knowing someone else's experience without it. Now, one way we can do that is fiction, but the other way is to look around us and look at what conversations, what stories, what things that are going on matter to people, and that will be different for each of us. So the challenge of the festival is to ensure that we are talking to as many people as we can and providing lots of different access points. So some of them might be theatre, some of them might be non-fiction, some of them might be spoken word, some of them might be music, some of them will be the novel. But all of them enable us to come together from all those different places and come to understand each other better. And that's the driving principle. For the festival, the mission, we have two missions. One is to support the work of New Zealand writers across the landscape. The other is to support engagement with language and literacy for absolutely everybody, because we believe without it you cannot have a successful and rich life. You need it to navigate your way through, you know, a legal contract or buying a house or getting a job, but you also need it to enrich your life and to sort of infuse your imagination. So when I set out to program, it's now a 170 event program. It runs over 6 days in the AOT Centre and about 5 rooms concurrently. 30% of that program entirely free. We've got a set of free things going on. We've got particular programming that we put in place to enable particular groups of people to engage. For instance, last year we brought Rupi Kaur, a Canadian Indian poet, who speaks to a demographic of young women from different ethnic and cultural backgrounds than the standard Palangi background. And then apprentices, and we saw them come in their hundreds to see her. So we look for a particular program, we look for a diverse range of program, and we look for format that will allow you to be part of the festival in a way that feels comfortable to you. And what we've seen is over time, people have, if you come and you find the experiences second to none, and then you come back and then you bring other people in, so it grows momentum.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fabulous kind of melting pot and a wonderful option for people. They come perhaps to see someone they're familiar with, but then they might dip next door and explore and just drop into a session, a free session with someone they've never heard of, and it really expands their horizons.
Yes, and I think the interesting thing about that is that sometimes you find that the people they come to see, they love seeing them, and that is something that they carry away. I saw this person whose work I've loved, whether that's Haruki Murakami or Albert Wendt or Selena Tusitala-Marsh, whoever that is. But it's the people that you discover at a festival that you really remember, because you didn't know about them. So the journey from A to B through the hour that you were part of a conversation with them actually moves you further and deeper. And so what's great for us is that an audience does trust our judgment. Don't always get that right, but we work pretty hard to try and get that right. And so they're prepared now to trust us. And we also, as I say, we program free things, so they're a way for you to test the waters without having to pay very much. And even when we ticket, it's very low price, so we try to keep tickets, you know, as low as $15 to $20 for an event. And actually it's those things that A, really invigorate people, and B, bring them back again and again, is the discovery of the new.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I love seeing is that period between the sessions out in the foyer, when all the various cues coming and going from the sessions mingle and people make new friends and have fantastic conversations about things they would never have imagined talking about perhaps a week ago. It's just
absolutely. I mean, I think in that venue, and I mean, it's a central venue, but what it does is we actually create a city inside those walls, because there are 5 rooms operating, there are hundreds of people coming out of them, they're drinking coffee, they're meeting friends, they're meeting writers, they're buying books, they're reading books, and actually the energy in there is like walking the streets of New York. It's quite an extraordinary experience. So it's a combination of that very vibrant out in the city landscape, you know, out in Manukau, and also that combination of that with this kind of, you know, friends sitting around sharing a meal and talking about the things that matter to them today, which is the other sense. So you combine those two fantastic experiences in one place at one time.
It is. It's a truly fantastic experience for everybody. And so a lot of people won't understand how you manage to create that experience, because the other thing I notice about the Writers' Festival is that it's a seamless experience for the people who come. They don't see the feet paddling madly under the water or understand how it comes to happen. So can you just talk briefly about how you put such a thing on?
Well,
briefly, 25 words or less.
It's slightly miraculous, to be honest. I mean, we're a very small permanent team. We're a team of four. So, and we have to raise, it costs about $2 million to run the festival each year, and we have to raise over $1 million of that from sponsorship and partnership. So as I like to say, we spend the first 6 months from June to December raising the money, going out and talking to people, finding people who will support us, finding the writers, both in New Zealand and abroad, because we bring about 40 internationals and we program about 160 New Zealand writers, and picking the stories and the books that we want to talk about. So that's what we do for the first 6 months, and there's four of us kind of working on that. And then from January to May, the end of May, we plan that festival. So every single one of those writers has to get on a plane, they have to stay in a hotel, they have to be collected in an airport, they have to agree to all the things that they're doing. We've got to write a 110-page program. So for those 6 months, we spend working very long hours, I must say, at this phase of things, putting that together so that we want you to have a seamless experience. It should never feel for you like the crisis, which happens from time to time, has just happened back there. But it's basically a really great team, really passionate, engaged with what they're doing, paying attention to both the big picture questions and every single detail. And as you say, I don't think until you work in a festival you realise, you know, yesterday we're having a conversation, we have a writer coming from Africa, that writer travels on an African passport, that passport is not eligible for a visa waiver to come to New Zealand under the festival allowances, so they must apply for a visa. So we need to send them all the information, we need to make sure they've got an up-to-date passport, we need to make sure that happens so they can get off a plane here. So every detail about every single one of those writers needs to be thought through, planned, scheduled. And then, of course, we just have this glorious week in May where we roll that out, we take on, we have a production manager who comes on to help us, we have a publicist who does that, we have 80 volunteers who work every room in the venue. You yourself, I know, have done that in the past. And then we just string it all together. But it is a very intensive, and also not as exciting as people think it is. You know, when you've spent 2 weeks writing 50-word bios for 200 people to go in a program, there are days when you wish you did something else. But when those 200 people turn up and the audience sees them and loves them and responds to them, you think, that was nothing. It was a few days out of my life. So, yeah.
Absolutely worth it. Yeah.
Absolutely. And of course, the other thing is you're dealing with people and things happen and things change. So, you know, there are lots of stories of during every single year of my years and many years in festivals where writers who you think are locked and loaded suddenly pull out. You have to rearrange programs. You know, something goes wrong, something falls over in a room. So there are all those things. So you also have to be resilient and flexible and very quick thinking.
Mm. One of the components of those many moving parts that I really like is the focus and the growing engagement with South Auckland, or as Damon Salesa might say, with the Pacific City. My local board, Māngere o Tāhu, and I know our neighbouring local board, Ōtāra Papatoetoe, are very absolutely passionate about the talent of our young people and their creative abilities, but we're also very aware that the communities they come from perhaps don't have books and homes, perhaps there are cost barriers to their children, their young people taking part in various activities, and so the kind of opportunities that other young people growing up in New Zealand might get to think and read and dream about their future and the future of the country are just not options to a lot of those families. And I know that the festival has really taken that on board and also values literature and reading and writing and books and supporting the dreams of our young people. And I just wonder if you can tell us a bit about how that started and what are the exciting things that are coming up in the schools program in particular this May?
Sure. Well, I guess there are several sort of layers to that conversation. So the first one is we do run a schools program, and it was started before I got here. I think it's pretty, I mean, Kate Goldie, the New Zealand author, sort of praises it as probably the leading festival of its type in the world. And it's a program where we invite schools to bring their students at a very low price point, about $12 for the day, to come to the festival, and they get to go to four sessions. So they have four 45-minute sessions with writers. There are signing opportunities during the day. And we started building that program in 2007. So from year to year, that's gone from strength to strength. And in fact, last year, we had 5,500 students attend that program over 3 days. It was a one-day festival. When it started, it's now 3 days and now covers 42 events. In 2018, there will be 42 events in that program. So we saw that program sort of bed in and start to grow, and we saw there was a need. And so we have sort of, first of all, developed that program. So the first thing we did was look to make sure that the broad as possible access was there. And in the first instance, we dedicated a lot of budget, which we continue to do, to transport. So we budget, we actually have a large transport fund, and we offer schools the opportunity to apply for subsidies. So they buy the tickets, but they we will help pay for the bus or the van or the car. And we have schools travelling from as far south as Whakatane, and Katikati, get kids getting up at 5 in the morning. We have schools coming down from Ahipara in the north and Whangarei. And so we are, the whole of the upper North Island has been caught in that, and it's become a really vibrant part of the program. When we looked at that, we looked at two things when we were thinking about broadening our reach and certainly reflecting the widening diversity of the city and also enabling access. And that was that actually in the long term, to diversify our audience, what we want to do is teach the next generation that this is a cultural experience that will enrich their lives, that is easily negotiated, that's not a scary, you know, thing happening in the middle of Auckland for a lot of older white people, but that is something for everyone. So we made a determined decision that the schools program is where we would invest the resources. The second thing was, we were always aware that actually, even though it's only $12 a ticket, even that for a lot of people is very difficult. So, and that is reflected in the demographics. I mean, some schools enroll quickly, some schools don't enroll quickly, and some schools don't enroll at all. And we wanted to make sure that we were reaching out, because, as I said, our mission with that program is not only to develop our audience, but to ensure that the next generation and the generation after that are engaged with the world of story and book, and literacy is a core of human right that they have access to. So we started to build a sponsorship program, and in the first instance it was underwritten by, I should say the schools program is sponsored by the Freemason Foundation, who have been incredibly generous. All those students also leave the festival with a book that we have printed. We print 7,000 copies of a collection of New Zealand stories that we have commissioned by New Zealand writers on the program.
I love that, that's great.
It's just a wonderful thing. We want you to take that book home with you. So Freemasons underpin the big program, but we wanted to ensure that that reached particularly into low decile schools and in regions that we weren't engaging with well, were part of this community, of our cultural community. And so we set out with some patron support to identify schools in South Auckland who had not yet engaged with the program, and to approach them and to invite them to attend the festival at our cost. And this is a three-year program, so we're in the third year of it, and it's tracking well, and so this hopefully will become a permanent program. So in the first year, we selected three schools in South Auckland, and we looked for people where we could find a champion within the school, someone who was, you know, engaged with the program, wanted to do it, and we offered them to bring as many students as they wanted and for us to cover their transport up to the value of $2,000. Which means that you can effectively bring, you know, 100 students if you want
to.
A class, sometimes two classes. In fact, some of them did bring one of those schools brought 80 students. And so we identified three schools, and then the second year we've added three schools in. So the first school then drops to a 50% subsidy on the tickets, but all the transport paid, and then the third year all the transport paid, and then fourth year on. And so we're bringing three new schools. So we now have nine schools engaged in that program. Then alongside that, we thought, well, that's great. They come to the festival, they have a fantastic time, and they do. I mean, my favourite story several years ago is two boys from a South Auckland school who came to the schools program and arrived back at the festival on the Friday, a schools day, and came up to the, I know we shouldn't really crow about this, but came up to the information desk and said they'd had such a great time they wanted to come back, and they had come back to see Fleur Adcock, who is, you know, an elderly white poet.
English-based
poet,
now, yes.
English-based poet. Extraordinary choice of session to go to, but so we know that we get them in, that excites, they get the excitement of it. But what happens to them before, what happens to them after? So we've built a program around that where we've taken students from the three sort of primary schools each year, or the three sort of schools we've chosen, and we're building a mentoring project around that. The first year, those students were mentored with MIT tutors at MIT, and there were some things we wanted to polish up around that. So last year, we sent tutors out for 8 weeks of 90-minute tutoring every Tuesday night between June and September with a group of eight students from that school. And we sent Kalo Mila, you know, the poet, and Paula Morris, the Māori writer. So we got great tutors. We paid those tutors to go out there. And they started working with a story of their own lives, which they started with the spoken word form, moved into poetry, moved into creative nonfiction, moved into fiction over an eight-week period. And we're really delighted to have brought on board Vector, who are now supporting that program. So when we do that this year, they will help you know, build up. We've got to pay, obviously, transport costs for those tutors. And the most wonderful thing for me is we went out for the first group meeting with those 24 students last year who were working on that project, and we did sort of a group meet at one of the schools. I think Edmund Hillary hosted that one. And the only palangi in the room were the people from the festival. Every single one of those students came from these wonderfully rich and diverse backgrounds and had a whole host of stories that are well outside my reference point. So we are determined, we want to embed that love of writing, we want to pass on skills, we want to introduce people, you know, give them imagination, give them the sense that they too can be writers, give them the understanding that actually reading is a wonderful and powerful tool. And so we are building that engagement. We're doing it slowly, obviously in terms of resource, but in terms of also making sure we get it entirely right, that it's appropriate for, you know, the groups that we're working with. So we're really excited about that. And that for us is our passion project, actually, that project in South Auckland. And we hope over time, you know, once we've kind of to keep doing that and to keep building that reach into those schools. And then as well as that, obviously, you know, we hope to bring on other people who may sort of help support other regions who are also not engaging to come and be part of that. So that's our long-term kind of vision. Last year, there was a project around that Paula Morris ran with one of the schools on the program doing an 1001 Arabian Nights project. And then those students at the end, so they did that project. They came to the school's program, they appeared at the festival, and then they went on to the mentoring project afterwards. So we recognise that to really affect change and enable access, we need to do more than just offer a day in May. We need to actually really build a platform for that. And so that's what we're doing.
And help them make it their world. Yes.
That's right. It is their world, actually. My world is disappearing in this city, you know.
Yep.
I mean, when we looked at our demographics the other day of attendance across the public program, and you know, our Pacifica and Māori and Asian, actually, engagement is lower than the general population. It's not terrible, but it could be better, and we're working on that. But, you know, when you look at that, you realise that the European face of Auckland is not the future of Auckland at all. And it's very interesting when we look at my internationals list for this year. We have two from North America, one from Asia, now living in England, all sort of second generation children of Asians who are the future of the global kind of move around the world. And so we need to reflect that in the stories we tell on our stages.
And I was actually just quickly going back to last year's festival. I was really excited to see those students and Paula Morris programmed in the main program. And the session they were in, I think, was up against four or five maybe other things, including huge sessions in the main theatre. And it was really chocker, and they did brilliantly well. It was just a wonderful, wonderful experience to see them bring their work forward to a really diverse audience in turn.
Yeah, I mean,
and
they were
be so well received, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, and then kudos to Paula Morris, who is just a complete champion for literature, for New Zealand literature, for Māori and Pacifica literature, and for the stories of Māori and Pacifica, and she's an absolute powerhouse, so I kind of acknowledge that, so yeah.
So the school's program is out.
It is.
Where can people get their hands on it?
Well, the schools program, so schools registration go to schools. So if you haven't received that, it goes out on an email database. We have a big database of schools throughout the country. If you haven't received it, then contact the Writers Festival. So just contact schools at writersfestival.co.nz or give us a call. We will get one sent out to you. Registrations are open now. I should also say, one of the other things we're doing for schools program, so for schools that can't access for whatever reason, we are actually... We do take video of all our events, and we are packaging those up starting last year. We started doing it last year so that actually outside of the festival, a teacher can use that as a reference point in the classroom. You can take a session, download a session and watch it with your class at a time that suits you. So contact the festival and we can send that program out to you, or check in with your English teacher or your principal to make sure they've got it, or your librarian is often a great champion, and make sure they're on our radar. And yes, it's a 42 event program. We've got Alex Wheatle, grew up in, you know, in homes in England, lived in Brixton, went to prison, written a trilogy that won the Guardian Fiction Prize for young adults of West Indian heritage. We have a couple of great American writers, but we also have Selena Tutatalamash, Damien Salmon, Takahu Rolleston, Rewa Wally. So there's a, and a production of about Roly Habib, the Māori poet. So there is a whole lot of wonderful texture in that program that will, you know, will really deliver value to your students, to students and to our youth.
And how do people go about applying for the travel subsidy if that's something that applies to them?
Yeah, so the travel, well, it applies to everyone, but we do have to, sort of, some things, we can't do everybody everything that they need to pay for the full three buses. But it's actually in the program. So the program has a booking form for the sessions that you want your students to go to, and it has a booking form for the transport fund. So the booking form goes to Ticketmaster, and all the details are in our program, and the transport fund comes to us. We assess all, we need all of those in by the beginning of March. We go through, we check how much budget we can allocate. At the moment, it's, you know, it's over $20,000, so it's a lot of money. And then we, and we confirm that you can have that money, and then you can confirm your ticket purchase. So you need to, but you do need to get your ticket order in, and you do need to get your transport fund into us so that we can make sure you're looked after. But it's a priority for us to get every student that wants to come, every school that wants to attend in here if we possibly can.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And you've got me on the edge of my seat with your hints about the main program. So when's the big reveal for the main program?
I can't possibly tell you anything about that till later. That is very secret. We will publicly launch our program on the 14th of March in the evening in Auckland. Friends and patrons have an extra day just to do their first bookings, and then public bookings open on Friday the 16th. And obviously there is a multitude of events. There's performance, there's music, we're going to have songwriters, there's spoken word showcase, there's going to be a whole lot of fantastic stuff. But I also really want to iterate for people, pick up a program. We print 60,000 of them, they're everywhere. If you can't find one, contact us, we'll post one to you. It's online, but, you know, and 30% of that program is entirely free. You can just come, queue up, go to something else, you know, just come and check it out and see if it's for you, because I guarantee that you'll discover it's for you.
Oh, absolutely. It's just, I can't wait. So, just telling listeners that there are also details of how to get to the Auckland Writers Festival website on the Planet FM website, and how to follow them on Twitter and Instagram, social media. And you'll also find on the Red Alert Facebook page that those contact details are posted as well, so that you can easily find your way through to the Auckland Writers Festival. Yeah,
absolutely. And I mean, what I would say is, if you know, if anybody's having any trouble with anything, please call us. We may be a small team, but we always pick up the telephone and we always want to fix it. So call us or send us a message, you know, find us on Facebook, whatever it is, however you kind of can, you know, reach out in the world, then come find us, and we will work with you to make sure that you can, that you have access.
Fantastic. Another wonderful thing, I think, is the volunteer program attached to the festival. And I'm just thinking back to your lovely two boys who came back to see Fleur Adcock. Now, if they're now students or whatever they're doing now, they might like to volunteer and to be assisting in the running of the festival during the period that it's open. So you'll also, they'll also find the details of how to become a volunteer. Do you want to just talk very briefly about...
Yeah.
What the volunteers
so
do.
We can't deliver a program without volunteers. We have a crew of about 80 volunteers, and basically you're walking writers from room to room, you're looking after signing queues sometimes. I mean, you know, some things are boring, some things are more exciting, but as a volunteer, you get to be part of the heart of the event. You also get, when you're not volunteering, so you're asked to use 3-4 hour shifts across the 6 days, and the rest of the time, as long as something is not sold out, you have a lanyard around your neck. This is how we pay you. And you can go to anything in the festival that has a seat, you know, any of our standard events, of which there are many to choose from, as long as it's not sold out. So you get to kind of hang out. You get to see what it is to be part of the festival. You get to be up close with kind of some of our wonderful guests. You've got to be flexible people, you've got to be prepared to do anything. You've got to be kind of energetic. But we would love to kind of grow that, and particularly to get, not that I don't love our older volunteers, but it's always wonderful to see a broader range of volunteers. And so, to, you know, younger people there is a fantastic thing. So it's a great opportunity to suss out the festival. It's a great opportunity to see some of the festival, and it's a great opportunity to be part of a team. Delivering a festival is actually a very unique thing. There, it's nothing quite like it. It's very energetic, it's very energising, and it really, it just, you just run on a big lack of sleep, a lot of egg or coffee, and but just, you know, a lot of energy about doing something that's a great thing to be doing, that makes people happy and is really kind of energising and interesting.
Yeah, it's wonderful, and
so
it's going to be
encouraging to do that.
Right here in Auckland in May, so we look forward to seeing everybody there. Thank you so much, Anne, and best of luck, because I know you're getting down to the wire now, so enjoy the process and enjoy the festival in May yourself.
Thank you so much. It was lovely to talk to you, and I look forward to seeing you all at the festival May the 15th to the 20th at the ARC Centre in Auckland.
Get together with your local MP next week at 9:05 a.m. or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/redalert.